What's the place where you see more girls that you'd like to pick up than any other place? The street, of course. And that's why it's so important that you master the basic elements of the street pickup. There are a few basic principles that you have to master before you can move on to wild, uninhibited street play. First, it's important to remember not to get greedy. Pick a girl whose outfit and style you really like, so when you make your move, she'll instinctively know you're sincere and mean it. Remember, girls like guys who know what they want, and a girl likes to think you think she's something special. There's a second general rule for street pickups, and that's having a relaxed approach. You've got to keep cool and act casual. Not so casual that the girl doesn't think you're interested, but offhand enough so you don't alarm her. With these two points in mind, choosing your chick carefully and keeping your approach casual, let's watch Mike in action in downtown Dallas when he was in town on business and it looked to him like every secretary in town was taking her Texas-sized titties for a lunch hour exercise walk.
Oh, brother. Look at those knockers. Jesus. And those. Look at the points on those. No bra on that chick. There's another one. She's got a pair. Jesus. Well, these Texas chicks are too much.
Phew. Whoops. Mike's forgotten rule number one, and he's just spinning his wheels. Don't forget, you've got to make a decisive choice. After all, you're not girl-watching. Mike's like the donkey who's starving because it can't choose between two bales of Texas hay. It's only an ass that can't make hay in Dallas, Mike. Settle down and take your pick.
Excuse me, but I wonder if you tell me where you get your hair done.
What?
Your hair, it's perfect. I'd like to know where you get it done. It's beautiful and just perfect for the job.
Perfect for what job?
A second ago, this groovy chick was just a girl in his dreams. Now Mike's managed to intrigue and flatter her using her most lovely and least complimented, because her breasts usually get all the attention, feature, her hair. But Mike plays it very cool and keeps spinning his web.
Let me explain. I'm an advertising executive, and we're down here in Dallas looking for girls with hair as pretty as yours to use in our shampoo commercials on television.
Really?
Yeah. And this Texas sun is murder on most hair I've seen today, but yours is lovely. Just lovely.
Well, thank you.
Now Mike set her up. All girls want to be on television, so Mike puts a real casual front on. He doesn't want this girl to think she's going to get on television too easily.
Well, I don't want to hold you up. I'm sure you're very busy. Why don't you just tell me the name of your beauty parlor and I can go by there and see if I can find someone there who's got some spare time.
I got some spare time.
Are you sure?
Why, yes, I'm certain.
Oh, this is a real imposition. You were going to lunch.
Now Mike is careful not to get too casual and lose her. He gives her just enough slack and sets the hook.
No, I was just going shopping for a few things. It can wait.
You know, I'd never be able to find such perfect hair for us in any beauty parlor anyway.
But I wash and set it myself.
You do?
Yes.
Well, can you spare a minute from your shopping?
Yes.
Then why don't you give me all the details? Let's duck in here for a drink for a minute.
Mike has completely disarmed her natural street defenses by complimenting her and then backing off, pretending he's not so interested. Now that they're having a drink, let's see how he handles telling this luscious chick he's really an insurance salesman without losing her.
You know, I've got something I should confess to you.
What's that?
Well, I really noticed your hair for personal reasons.
Oh?
You see, I'm just visiting Dallas on business, and when I saw you, I thought to myself, now she belongs in a television commercial. She's so great looking. If I were in advertising, I would have picked you from all the girls in Dallas to be in my shampoo commercial.
Really?
That's the truth.
Now Mike's told her the truth, and he's still pretending he doesn't even notice the snowy cleavage she's showing him.
I sure have enjoyed meeting a Texas girl.
Well, it's been real fun meeting a man who treats a girl so nice.
Say, since I don't know a thing about Dallas, maybe you could suggest a club where they have dinner and dancing.
Well, there's the Pot of Luck, or there's Sir William's Inn.
Which is your favorite?
Sir William's.
How'd you like to go there with me tonight?
I was supposed to go to the movies.
Oh, well, that's too bad. This is my only night in town. I was really hoping to step out and enjoy some real Texas hospitality.
Mike lets her know it's tonight or never.
I could go to the movies another night.
And tonight you can show me Sir Williams. Terrific! I'll meet you after work.
That's it. From sidewalk to evening date. Mike played it beautifully once he settled down and chose his girl. Because he picked a chick he really dug, his natural sincerity showed, and she instinctively trusted him. He was able to keep cool and let her get excited. With his style, he should go all the way tonight. Are you a high school or college student with a long research paper to write? Then more than likely you're spending hours in the library tracking down little-known facts you are hoping will impress your teacher enough to give you an A, or at least to keep you from getting an F. Anyway, if you have been spending hours in the library, or even just minutes, you've probably noticed lots of good-looking girls sitting all by themselves, intently leafing through enormous volumes of pre-Elizabethan poetry and the like. Of course, that doesn't mean women don't get just as bored in the library as you do. It may take them a little longer, a half hour, say, to your 48 seconds, but they do get bored. And, as a recent study of college sophomores pointed out, when students get bored, the first thing they think of is sex. The girls just as much as the boys. That's one of the main reasons why libraries are such great places to pick up girls, and why, even if you're not a student, you might consider undertaking a research project of your own. Here's how one young guy, Mike, recently picked up a girl in the library at the University of Wisconsin. She had pretty heart-shaped lips, a special weakness of Mike's, that she licked as she studied. Listen to how Mike got things started.
That's gonna be some biology exam, huh?
What?
I said that's gonna be some mother of a biology exam.
What biology exam?
The one next Thursday on crustaceans.
What? Look, I don't even take biology.
Oh, come on. Sure you do. I see you in my lecture every Tuesday and Thursday morning. You take notes and I nap.
You must be mistaking me for somebody else.
Do you have a sister who goes to school here?
No.
A cousin?
No. Now look, I have to study.
I know. So do I. It's just that I could have sworn you were this girl in my biology class. She has one fantastic feature that you do, too. That's why I was sure you were her.
What feature?
Aha! The girl is a little bit interested now. Mike has both flattered her and aroused her curiosity. Instead of telling her flat out that she has beautiful heart-shaped lips, he makes his compliment a little tantalizing, a little more romantic. The girl questions Mike as if she's only mildly curious, but believe me, she really wants to know.
Well, what feature are you talking about?
Your lips. They're heart-shaped. Heart-shaped lips are one of the three most beautiful features a woman can have.
Oh, yeah? Well, what are the other two?
Now Mike has her really interested. First of all, she's starting to feel friendly toward him because he gave her such a nice compliment. Everybody loves to be complimented. Secondly, he's been interesting, different. There's the promise of his telling her things she's never heard before. Girls like that, a lot. Now it's time for Mike to advance their relationship a step.
So, look, what are the other two features that can really make a woman beautiful?
I'll only tell you on one condition.
What's that?
If you take a short study break now and come and have a Coke with me.
Oh, well, gee, I really have to study.
Oh, come on, for 10 minutes. I saw you licking those gorgeous heart-shaped lips a couple of minutes ago, and I just know you're thirsty.
Well...
Oh, come on. A tall, cold, icy Coke. It'll help you study better.
Well, okay, but just for a couple of minutes.
Believe me, that's as long as I want to take. I've got a lot of studying myself.
Mike and the girl go to the campus soda shop across the street from the library. She still wants to know about the other two things that make a woman really beautiful.
Well, one of the other things is your name. Which reminds me, I don't even know yours.
Oh, it's Jessica.
Jessica? Mm. You're kidding.
No.
That's beautiful.
Oh, you really like it?
Like it? I'm mad for it. In fact, you look like a Jessica.
Oh, come on, you're just putting me on. What's the third thing that makes a woman beautiful?
The way a woman's earlobes are shaped.
Earlobes?
Uh-huh. Earlobes can be very sexy. I'll show you.
And here Mike takes Jessica's long, black, silky hair and holds it back so that he can see her earlobes. All the better to explain to her the many mysteries of beauty, sex, sensuality, and what it is that attracts men to women. I needn't tell you that he and Jessica are already on the way to a nice, warm, cozy relationship. What's the moral of this particular pickup? Simple. Compliment a woman in an interesting way. Don't just say, "Hey, baby, you got nice tits." Think about it a little bit. Then tell her you've only seen one other woman whose breasts come even close to being as shapely as hers. In recent years, a whole new pickup scene has evolved in metropolitan areas. I'm talking about the singles bar, the modern phenomenon that started in New York and L.A. and has spread to virtually every city and town in the country. Singles bars are not like other bars or restaurants. Don't kid yourself. Singles bars are for pickups. That's their sole function. Therefore, the ground rules for behavior are different in a singles bar, and you shouldn't try to pretend that they're not. Nobody, male or female, goes to a singles bar just for a drink. They go to meet someone of the opposite sex and, if they like them, to score, right? Because a singles bar is a unique place, it requires a unique technique. The core of this technique is straightforward, assertive honesty. In a singles bar, the last thing you want to do is pussyfoot, pardon the expression, around. Paul is a guy who hits a singles bar every so often when he's looking to meet a new chick. Let's hear how he handles it.
Bartender, will you give me a ginger ale on the rocks, please?
You're laughing, right? Sounds like Paul's some kind of tenderfoot. If you think so, you've already forgotten the most important thing about singles bars. You're not in there to drink. Keeping in mind the importance of being direct, Paul moves straight to the girl he'd like to meet.
Oh, excuse me. I couldn't help noticing you, because you're the best-looking woman I've seen in here. I wonder if you might join me at a table where we could talk?
Now you think Paul's coming on too strong, right? Well, if he were working a beach or a regular bar, he would be. But here, he's refreshingly direct and to the point. The chick he's picked out, who's obviously wearing nothing but skin under her pink Angora sweater, has been chatting it up with a guy at the bar who hasn't made a single concrete proposal in 30 minutes. So listen to how she reacts to Paul.
Say, that's the best suggestion I've heard all night.
Good.
In fact, why don't we take that table over there in the corner where it'll be more private?
Now, how about that? This girl's making it easy, but why not? She's hanging out in this bar for one reason, and Paul's the first guy she's met who isn't pretending he just stopped in for a drink. To score, you have to play your hand straight. And that's what Paul continues to do. Listen.
I work in a management training program at the First Chartered Bank, and I live in this neighborhood. I'm into water sports and beautiful girls, which is why I wanted to talk to you.
But I can't swim.
No, but you are beautiful. And I bet you work in an office, too.
Paul's giving her both information about himself and compliments about herself. And remember, even the most acclaimed beauty wants to be told that you think she's pretty. Paul's also right to guess that the chick is a professional or an office worker of some sort, because those are generally the type of chicks who hang out in singles bars.
You're right. I'm an assistant account exec at the agency right across the street from the First Chartered Bank. But I don't like water sports.
Now she's testing Paul. He's come on nothing but strong, and she wants to be sure that he's not exclusively bullheaded. So she's challenging him to see how he handles it, whether he's a nice guy or a thug.
Well, there's nothing sacred about water sports, is there?
I don't know. Is there?
She's really pressing him for some kind of reaction. She's not going to let him off the hook. In her own way, she's being straight and direct. She wants some indication of how Paul feels about things. Paul senses this is important, that the success or failure of his pickup depends on how he handles this, so he proceeds carefully.
Hey, I was just trying to give you some idea of my interests. I don't want to force anything on you.
This is exactly what the chick wants to hear. Paul goes on.
Sailing, water skiing, those are my things. You don't have to dig them. You do your thing, I'll do mine. I just wanted you to know what my thing is.
That's cool. But now I'm embarrassed. I mean, I thought you might be this heavy macho guy, and I don't go for guys like that. So I made that up about not liking water sports. I was only testing you. I love water sports, particularly if you can play them in a bubble bath.
Can you believe that? Come on. Paul's pretty turned on now because he thinks he's got a live one, but he's still wary. He knows the experienced chicks in a singles bar really check a guy out before they'll trust him, and he suspects this come-on may be another test, so he pretends he missed her innuendo.
What else do you like to do when you're not working? Go to the opera? Read?
You're serious?
Yes, I'm curious about what really interests you.
That's far out. I haven't met a guy who's cared about that in a long time.
So tell me.
Well, you guessed it. I like to read Russian novels. Let me tell you about the Tolstoy novel I just finished.
Paul did it. He managed to separate the girl he wanted to pick up from the bevy of chicks at the bar, impress her with his own style, and then convince her that he was interested in her as a person in addition to just as a beautiful girl. Let's hear how their conversation winds down.
I sure have enjoyed talking to you.
Well, I've been pleasantly surprised myself.
But I really mean it. I've never met a guy in here before who cares about what I think.
I've never met anybody before who could tell me so much about Russian novels. I'm practically ready to go to Moscow.
Well, that's too far. Why don't we just go back to my place? I've got a few more things I want to tell you.
Bingo. A perfect score. Paul started out tough, played his cards out in the open, and then pulled back to give this girl time to get comfortable with him. He never forgot the reason she was in the singles bar, so he knew, no matter how much she talked about Russian novels, that in the back of her mind she was trying to decide if he was the guy for her. And by then, he was so genuinely interested in her as a person that her invitation to go home with him, when it came, was inevitable. Try it for yourself. Picking girls up in a women's clothing store is one of the boldest pickups, because you go straight to where the girls are. The smartest guys use the prince who is all thumbs approach. Charming, but simultaneously a little helpless. After all, a prince knows how to shop for his own clothes, but when it comes to getting a gift for his sister or aunt in a women's department, he needs a little help. And girls love to help a just slightly helpless prince. It gives them a good feeling about themselves, because it's a woman's instinct to help a man and make him happy, whether it's shopping or, as you know, in bed. In Boston, Frank really hit the jackpot. Frank himself had put on some sharp sport clothes, because you can't operate in a clothing store looking like a bum, since the girls in stores are all very clothes-conscious. Listen how Frank, a prince who's all thumbs, takes his time, letting his natural friendliness and sincerity do the trick for him.
Excuse me, but I need a little help.
I'm sorry, I don't work here.
Oh, I could tell that by the way you dress, but that's why I think you could really help me.
I think you really need a salesperson. There's one right over there.
Now, this chick isn't making it easy for Frank, but he plays it slow and easy. He hasn't even thrown her the bait yet. Now he turns on some of the prince's charm.
But that sales lady obviously doesn't have your good taste. I can tell that by the way you're dressed. If she helps me pick out a birthday present for my sister will hate it.
Oh, you're getting a present for your sister?
Suddenly, a little interest from the chick. Like any girl, she loves presents. Most girls even like to pick them out for people they don't even know. And this girl is no exception.
Yeah, it's my sister's 21st birthday, and I want to get her something just right. But she has the same look you do. You know, the same nice figure, the same dramatic-looking, classy clothes.
Well, thank you.
But when I look at these blouses on the rack, I can't imagine what they'd look like on her.
It does take some practice to be able to tell.
Now she's warming up a little to our prince. She's sympathetic. He's alternating charm with being all thumbs, and the combination seems to be working. Listen.
What size is your sister?
That's another thing. I'm not really sure. Wait. She's about your size, maybe an inch shorter. What size do you wear?
An 8, but these blouses are all small, medium, and large, so she's probably a medium, like me.
Oh, brother, I'll never find what I need. Even if I get the right size, how will I know what it'll look like on her? I really want to get her something nice, too. It's such a special day for her.
Well, I'm sure you'll find something.
Frank realizes he has to turn on a little more charm, or this college chick isn't going to help him. He's been playing things a little too helpless, so he throws her a timely compliment.
I know. I'll just get her a blouse like the one you have on. It looks terrific and it fits so well. My sister has the same kind of curves you do. That blouse will look almost as good on her as it does on you. Did you get it here?
This? This is just an old rag.
Old rag, my foot. It's a knockout. Where can I get one?
Well, you can't now. It's from last season.
Then what am I going to do?
Now Frank's at the crucial point, but his timing has been nearly flawless. He hasn't pushed, but he's set her up with those compliments about her figure, and she's warmed up to him. He remembers that girls can't resist being helpful. Listen to how he handles it.
Say, if I pick out a couple of blouses I like, would you try them on and then I could see how they look? Oh, we'll only take a minute and I could choose the right one for my sister.
Well, I was 21 myself a month ago. I know how important that birthday is.
Only 21. You look much older, more sophisticated than my sister. Would you try these two?
Okay. Why not? I'd like to help. I'll change in the dressing room and be right back.
Of course, this chick has no way of knowing that Frank's just picked out the two sexiest blouses, and he's not thinking about anybody's sister anymore. In fact, Frank hasn't even got a sister. First, the chick comes out in the skin-tight print blouse. Frank stays calm and pretends to study the look of the blouse. Then she goes back into the dressing room to change into the second blouse, a see-through. When she comes out this time, she's not wearing a bra. Frank can't believe it.
That's the one. That's a terrific-looking blouse. You look terrific in it. You've got a dynamite figure.
Well, thank you. You really make me feel pretty.
Hear that? She says he makes her feel pretty. And it's true. Girls like to be told they're pretty, even if they already know it. She likes Frank because he notices her good points and compliments her. While she changes back into her own clothes, he buys the blouse. Then he makes his pitch for a date.
I'm really grateful for your help. I never could have found the right one without you.
I enjoyed helping you. Your sister's lucky to have such a thoughtful brother.
Say, I'd like to thank you somehow. How about joining me for a quick drink across the street?
Well, I haven't found a blouse for myself yet.
Well, we'll just have a quick one, then we'll come right back.
Okay. That'd be nice.
But Frank has more in mind for this swinger than just a drink.
Thanks for the drink, Frank. I've enjoyed talking, but now I've got to get back before the store closes and get my own blouse.
You've already got it.
What do you mean?
This one. The one I bought. It's yours.
Well,
I bought it for you because you look so great in it.
But, well, what about your sister's present?
I'll get another one for her tomorrow. Maybe you can help. But now, wouldn't you like to have some dinner?
Wow! You're some operator. I'd love to have dinner with you.
He did it. She's delighted with the blouse and impressed with Frank's technique. He really surprised her there at the end, but now she has an even better surprise for him.
Before we eat, though, I want to visit the ladies' room and put on my new blouse. For you, Frank.
So what are you doing sitting home listening to this record when you could be scoring like Frank at your local department store? Try being a prince who's all thumbs. Your princess is just waiting. You might not have thought of it yourself, but a ballet performance is the perfect place for a pickup because the audience is usually 50% girls who want to be ballerinas themselves. Furthermore, Most men won't be caught dead at the ballet, so you'll have very little competition. You'll be the only bull in this field of highly sexed girls. Arrive at the theater a little early and get an inexpensive balcony seat on the aisle. This way you'll be able to look over the girls as they come in. Get a program so you can learn some of the names of the dancers. The girls in the audience are crazy about the dancers, so you have to seem interested too. Check out some of the dancers' past performances and memorize a few facts. Now sit back and enjoy the show. You don't make your move until intermission. This is how Jeff, who works the ballet matinees in New York City, handled it recently after he'd picked out a tall blonde in the lobby who was wearing a sexy purple leotard.
Say, I've just got to talk to somebody about how great Joanna Weber was in that last number. I mean, she was really out of sight.
Yes, she was quite good.
I mean, you didn't love her? She was fantastic, just fantastic. Better than when I saw her in Swan Lake.
You saw her in Swan Lake, too?
Sure. I'm a real fan of Joanna's. You know, you look a lot like her. You've got the same grace and blonde hair.
Really?
Jeff had noticed this girl looked like Joanna Weber, and he's right to remark on it, because any girl in that audience would love to be compared to such a beautiful dancer.
But didn't you think Joanna was great? I mean, I haven't seen her do a pas de deux like that since her New Year's Eve performance last year.
You saw her New Year's Eve performance?
Sure. Didn't you?
Oh, I wanted to, but I had a date.
And so did I, but I came to the ballet first. I don't miss a Joanna Weber performance just for a date.
Oh, I wish I'd been able to come.
Now the girl is really impressed. Here's a man who does what she likes to do. And since so few men take her interest in the dance seriously, she's already hung up on Jeff.
You must be a dancer yourself.
How did you know?
It's easy to tell.
It is?
Sure. You walked in here the same way Joanna Weber walked out for her curtain call. Poised and together.
Thank you.
Where do you study?
At the Modern Ballet School on Fifth Avenue.
Say, that's right near where I live.
Jeff doesn't live anywhere near there. But until he has this chick in the palm of his hand, he's playing it safe. And he's playing it right, because listen.
We're neighbors then, because I live near there too in a little studio apartment.
Say, why don't I give you a lift home after the show?
Oh, that would be very nice.
Okay, I'll meet you right here after the show.
The intermission's over and a perfect pickup begun. All Jeff had to do was act as if he knew something about the ballet, and the rest followed naturally. This chick was waiting for a man with some interest in dancing, and now she has the whole second half of the show to realize how special he is. Most guys don't think of the ballet as a pickup spot. Now you know better. Remember, girls who do difficult dance exercises all day long want to relax and enjoy their bodies in the evening. And why shouldn't you relax with them? Let's cut back to Jeff and his blonde chick in the cab going home.
And I thought Joanna was at the top of her form in the first half, but she outdid herself in that last act.
Oh, I'm so glad you enjoyed it. I love the ballet.
You're really into dance, aren't you?
Well, I want to be as good as Joanna Weber someday.
I bet you're already just as good as she is in some ways.
Well, I can mix a good drink. Would you like to come up for one?
That would be a perfect nightcap.
Now Jeff can take her anywhere from here. She'll do anything for a man who thinks she's a natural dancer and a star. Why not? He appreciates her. And girls like to be appreciated, just like everybody does. Catch the ballet next time it comes to your town. You'll have a ball. Have you ever been to a museum on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon? Well, you should check one out. Museums are jammed with chicks standing around looking at art. Girls like art. It appeals to their fantasies. Maybe that's why girls who hang out in museums are such perfect pickup targets. Hank doesn't know much about art, but he knows what he likes. Long-legged, stylish-looking girls. In a Cleveland museum, Hank spotted a girl just like that, standing in front of a passionate Van Gogh painting of the French countryside. She had a notebook with her and made some notes before she fell into kind of a reverie in front of the painting. Remember, Hank doesn't know anything about art, but he wants to know this chick. Listen to how he handles it, turning his own apparent weakness into his strength.
Wow.
And that's all he says for the first 3 minutes. His next words?
Wow, that's a far-out painting.
Hank still hasn't even spoken to the girl. He just looks at the painting and pretends that's all he's thinking about. He moves around in front of it until he finally bumps into the chick, actually stepping on her foot.
Hey, watch it!
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. I was just trying to get a good look at this painting. I really didn't even see you.
No kidding.
Now the girl is rubbing her foot, and Hank has made the perfect pickup remark. I didn't even see you. So what does she want now? You guessed it. She wants Hank to notice her. She didn't get all dolled up to be ignored. Now she wants to impress him. Meanwhile, Hank is just looking at the painting again and pretending he's forgotten all about stepping on the chick's foot.
Do you like Van Gogh? I said, do you like Van Gogh?
Who's he?
He's the artist who painted this picture.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize that. You see, I don't know much about the Impressionists. I'm into photorealism. But this painting is something else. Look at the power of the storm clouds in that sky. Say, are there any other Van Goghs in this gallery?
Two in the next room. Here, I'll show you. Van Gogh's my favorite painter.
Now, Hank knew this already. He could tell by the way the chick was viewing the painting that if the artist wasn't her favorite, he was close to it. Now Hank plays his ignorance off against the girl's desire to make him take notice of her. Listen.
Hey, these are terrific, too. Do you know anything about this painter Van Gogh?
I'm taking a course on him.
Fantastic. Why don't you tell me something about him? I mean, how does he get that yellow swirling effect?
Well, I'd have to tell you something about the other Impressionists first before you could really understand Van Gogh.
Good. Why don't we go down to the cafeteria and grab a cup of coffee there? I want to hear all about him.
Now, at this point, Hank isn't just putting this chick on. While he was initially attracted to her by her appearance, he's become interested in her personality and what she cares about. He really is curious about Van Gogh now, because she is. He wants to get to know her. He's sincere, and that's why this pickup is working. Let's listen.
And that's why Van Gogh is so important.
That's fascinating. I had no idea the Impressionists were so important in the development of modern art. I mean, I always thought photorealism just was. But the way you explain it, photorealism couldn't have been without the Impressionists first.
Now, Hank is no intellectual. Remember, he didn't know anything about art, but he knows what he likes. But it turns out that what he likes, this chick who was a Van Gogh freak, knows something about art. And so Hank's natural curiosity is aroused. Meanwhile, Hank knows what he's doing. He knows that nothing turns a girl on more than a guy who is genuinely interested in what interests her. He lets his curiosity become aroused because he knows, in turn, the chick will become aroused too. And it won't be just her curiosity.
Well, looks like they're closing up. I hate to have our discussion interrupted now.
Me too.
I tell you what, why don't we have a drink at a place I know nearby?
Okay.
And listen to how the conversation is going an hour later, after a couple of drinks.
I can't really believe that you didn't know anything about Van Gogh before today.
Well, it's the truth. In fact, I should confess that I was more interested in you than I was in this painting when I first walked into that gallery.
You were?
The chick is relaxed enough now, so Hank can tell her the truth, and in so doing, flatter her. She's pleased not only to have been able to tell him something about Van Gogh, but also to have attracted him. He's made her feel desirable. Now he clinches the pickup.
Say, I've got some books on photorealism back at my place that I'd like to show you. Why don't we go back there, have a bite to eat, and take a look at it? I'd like you to see what interests me.
I'd like that. And why don't we pick up a bottle of wine on the way so we can relax a little and enjoy ourselves? I always like to put my feet up after an afternoon at the museum.
Now, can you beat that? The girl is going to bring the wine. Now you have heard how effective it can be to take an interest in a girl. And you've heard how easy it is. And does it pay off? Listen.
Oh, Hank, I had no idea when you stepped on my foot that we'd end up like this.
You don't have to know a thing about art. You just have to know what you like, right? Nothing succeeds in this world like imagination. Think about it. Einstein had imagination. Casanova had imagination, and Romeo had a great imagination. Didn't he score Juliet, one of the greatest pickups of all time? Girls can't resist a guy who obviously isn't playing them by the book. That's what they really admire, a guy whose innovations make him irresistible, a guy with imagination. The example here is a classic, walking the dog. Everyone knows if you've got a dog, it's got to be exercised. So if you're out with a dog on a leash in a park on a bright, sunny spring afternoon, everyone, including girls, assumes you're exercising your dog. That's what Barry looked like he was doing with his St. Bernard puppy on the town green in Aspen, Colorado. He was lying back, throwing a ball for his dog, just waiting for some action, when he saw this Cinderella-type chick, very loose-limbed and groovy-looking. She was walking across the far side of the green, so Barry threw his dog's ball in her direction. The next thing the chick knows, there's this overgrown dog charging at her full speed.
Oh! Oh!
Now Barry runs over to see what the trouble is, as if he didn't know.
Hey, Saint! Here, boy!
Is that your dog?
That's a good boy. Take it easy, fella.
Hear that? Barry doesn't even answer the chick's question. He pays attention to the dog, as if that's what interests him. This completely throws the girl off because she's not used to being ignored.
Is that your dog?
Yeah.
Well, look, you should have him on a leash.
Oh, did he hurt you? I didn't see him even touch you.
Well, he scared me.
Hear that, Saint? You scared her.
Instead of talking to the girl, Barry keeps talking to his dog. And like any girl, this chick doesn't want to be ignored. After all, she's wearing a t-shirt with nothing underneath, and everyone else in town notices her.
Is that a pure St. Bernard?
Huh? Oh, I thought you were scared away.
Oh, no, I was admiring your dog. Is it a pure St. Bernard?
Can you believe this? Barry knows what he's doing all right. A second ago, this chick was angry, and now she's coming on to him.
Yeah, he's purebred. I got him down in Denver for $300.
$300? Wow! I never knew a dog like that cost so much.
If you figure it by the pound, it's not so much.
Oh!
Barry has let this chick know that he's got some bread, and that he's not afraid to spend it on what he wants. Listen to how he begins to make his move now that the girl is relaxed and unsuspecting. Pay attention to how he continues to use his dog, Saint, and talk of other dogs as his ploy.
You like dogs?
Oh, you bet.
Ever have one of your own?
No. Mm-mm.
No? Wow, you look like the kind of a girl who would own an Afghan.
What do you mean?
This is the key question. Now the girl is opening up. She wants Barry to tell her what's on his mind. She's ready, and he's made her ready.
Well, do you know what an Afghan hound looks like?
Not exactly.
An Afghan is not like a St. Bernard. An Afghan is much more beautiful. It's long-haired, thin, stands tall, is very elegant-looking. They used to be court dogs.
Oh.
Some people think they're the most beautiful dogs in the world.
Now, don't think that Barry is talking just about Afghans. Listen.
Why would I have an Afghan?
Because you're so beautiful and graceful yourself.
Oh.
Now he's got the hook in. Let's see how he sets it.
You can generally predict the way a woman looks by her dog. Beautiful women choose beautiful dogs. You choose an Afghan, I know it.
Well, do men choose their special breed of dog for the same reasons?
Yep.
Did you choose a St. Bernard because they're strong, determined, courageous, and faithful?
Hey, a St. Bernard's clumsy, too.
Oh, you don't look clumsy.
Well, I'm not.
Well, so I guess you're the exception that proves the rule.
Now he's got her. Listen.
I've got to take Saint home to eat now.
You do?
Would you like to come?
Well, I don't know.
I live right over there.
Oh. Does he eat a lot?
It's unbelievable. Come on, I'll show you.
Okay.
Let me snap on his leash and you can lead him. There.
Oh, he's so big. He's pulling me.
Don't worry, he knows where he's going.
You bet he knows. Saint has done this routine before. He's led home more girls than Barry can remember. But the girl today is a real jackpot.
Hey, wait up, you two!
Well, you're gonna have to hurry up! We can't stop!
It's amazing. This luscious chick doesn't even know Barry's name. And now she's going home with him. Imagine what she'll do when they get so intimate as to exchange names. There's no doubt about it. You've got to use your imagination. If you haven't got a dog, try an antique car. And if you can't afford that, try an antique bicycle. And if that's too fancy, try antique roller skates. Remember, it's not what gimmick you use, but how you use it, and how you use your imagination. Good luck. The beach is a good place to pick up girls because you can really see what you're getting. Most beaches are crawling with chicks, and they're all there for just one reason, to get a terrific tan so they'll look great and attract all the men they want. But why wait till they've got the perfect tan? Why not pick the best-looking chick right off the beach and have a really great afternoon in the sun? Remember, that's what she's there for. And because girls are more self-conscious about their looks, there'll be more chicks than guys catching the rays on the beach any day. This works in your favor because it makes the girls competitive for the guys and easy pickups. Just pick out a pretty girl, put your towel down in her line of sight, and spread out your gear. Let her see that you're well-equipped with a radio, thermos of drinks, and magazines, so she'll know you're a serious sun worshiper, too. Don't let her know yet that you've noticed her. This is easy because her eyes will probably be closed against the sun until she hears you unpacking your gear. Settle down and then take out your empty suntan oil spray. Shake the can angrily, making as much noise as you can as you pretend to discover it's empty. When you've got her attention, notice her noticing you. You probably won't even have to speak first. This is such a perfect pickup technique. That's what happened to Paul at Malibu when he settled down near a leggy chick wearing just a string bikini.
Are you out of oil?
Yeah. I thought I had a full can, but my sister must have used it all when I lent it to her. And the sun's really fierce today.
Well, would you like to borrow some of mine?
Say, that would be great, but are you sure you have enough?
I always carry extra.
You're very smart.
First, Paul's already let her know he's generous by making up that story about lending his sister his suntan oil, while actually his can's been empty all summer. But more important, he's the first guy on the beach to ever tell this great-looking chick she's smart. He doesn't even mention her fantastically soft-looking breasts pushing out of her bathing suit top. He can tell her that later. Right now, she's proud to lend him some oil because he's noticed how intelligent she is to have brought an extra supply. Girls like to have their intelligence appreciated as well as their bodies. Then Paul goes over to have a closer look at this chick holding out the oil to him.
Hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Are you sure you can spare it?
Sure, take all you want.
I'll put it on here so you can have it right back.
That's all right. Take your time.
You've got such a good tan, you must live on the beach.
Yes, I share a house with some other stewardesses.
When Paul learns the girl's a stew, he knows what to do next because stews are trained to serve men. So he pretends to have trouble spreading the suntan oil on his back.
It's hard to spread this stuff on my back. Do you think you can give me a hand here? I can't get it right in the middle.
Sure, hold still. How's that?
Feels great. I couldn't have done it without you.
...at this pickup. He knows perfectly well how to oil his own back, but he also knows that all girls want to be helpful and feel needed. In 5 minutes, he's getting a back rub from this fantastic chick who is falling out of her tiny suit over him, and she still doesn't know she's being picked up.
I'm protected now. But your back looks kind of dry. Let me do it for you.
Oh, thanks.
Just undo your strap and I can get it around.
Okay.
How's that feel?
But Paul doesn't have to ask because he knows he's a terrific back rubber. Who isn't? And the chick is literally in his hands. He can feel the supple muscles of her back tensing and relaxing under his sure fingers.
That feels wonderful.
It's important to work the oil in. There. That about does it.
So fast.
She wants more. Paul really knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Now that she's relaxed and ready, he throws her the pass.
I'd like to pay you back for the suntan oil.
Oh, forget it. I'm glad I could help.
I just can't forget it. You saved my skin. I'll tell you what. Let me give you a frosty drink from my thermos. It's the least I can do for you.
You don't have to do
anything. Please, I
insist. Well, just one would be
refreshing. And how can she resist? When she struggles to do up her bathing suit straps, she flashes some nipple, but Paul keeps cool. He gives her a hand up, and they go over to his towel. Now he's got her on his own territory. She's his already, and they haven't even had that drink yet.
Here's your drink. I'm glad at least I remember my thermos.
I'm glad you ran out of suntan oil.
Me too.
And where does this beautiful relationship go from here? Anywhere Paul wants it to, and all because he made this luscious chick feel special because he noticed her intelligent planning. Try it.